LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd. We have a very, very humid morning here in LA.
It's true. My hair is reacting accordingly.
I can't believe it. And it's not even that hot, but I was already feeling like I'm sweating. I'm like, let me get into the air conditioning right away because I can't handle this.
I can always tell what kind of weather it is based off the cowlick. That happened. It's this like part that just doesn't get straight.
Oh, you know I what see I mean? On
I
your hair.
Fight with it. It's just like a little swoop, you know, okay. In a section of your hair that you just want to be straight.
Okay, so she's talking about her hair. You're pointing to it. And I figured people can't see what you're talking about.
I feel like, but they know, certain people know what a cowlick is. It's just like.
Oh, you see, I didn't know that. So you had to show it to me. A cowlick. Okay, well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Rachel is talking to our guest who will be
introducing soon.
Yes, she'll be joining us in just a moment. How's it going, Rachel?
Good.
Yeah, everything's good.
Yeah, I think I took too many edibles last night.
Oh, no.
I stayed in bed a little bit longer than
you did.
Well, I was up watching Ozark.
Oh, I've heard of it.
I think it's Ozark or Ozarks on Netflix. It's a great show. They're comparing it to Breaking Bad, but I don't like to compare, you know, one great thing to something that may not be as great.
I see. You know? So you needed an edible to keep you.
Well, I was so generously given edibles by Eddie Pure, a huge gift bag that they dropped off to me, and I didn't want. I have to use them. I have to use the product. So, these ones were a little bit higher dosage than I was used to. I think my eyes are still swollen. But yeah, I slept well. Great. It's a good...
It helps you sleep.
Thank you, Eddie Pure.
Right. Do you wake up with a hangover or something afterwards?
No, I wasn't hungover. I did. I did smoke a little bit of a joint before I came in today, too. I just...
Right. But that takes care of the hangover, so.
But I wasn't hungover. I think I was just tired.
We're such friggin' experts on weed. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know?
I'm a cannabis advocate. You'll hear me talk about cannabis often.
I know. People are like going, what is this with all the weed talk? You know, we've had lawyers. We've had advocates. No, this is cool. You know, I mean, we might as well get it out of the way early.
I just have to own who I am.
Yeah, you know? There you go.
I just have to be myself. So, yeah.
You should maybe take a middle name like Green or something, you know, like.
Well, Rachel Green was a character on Friends.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Rachel.
So be, yeah,
I
Rachel Green Wolfson.
I am Wolfie Memes.
Right.
Wolfie weed smokes. Wolfie.
Okay. Oh, but
I need something like directly related to cannabis in my name.
So wait, Wolfie means something?
No, it's just like my nickname that I got from my last name.
Right.
Growing up.
Right. But it doesn't refer to cannabis or anything. I'm just saying.
No, but I just thought Wolfie started with a W and so did weed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You had to have been born for it.
That's where I went with that. You know, there was not much
that
logic.
That was very convincing. Yeah, okay. Very convincing.
Yeah, so I'm addicted to the show. I'm on episode 7 and I always fall asleep before, like in the middle of an episode, so I have to go back before I start it over. Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever works, you know. I mean, there you go. You watch shows, cool. I mean, it. You know, with me, it like keeps me sitting down and watching because I only watch movies in half-hour bursts.
Right.
Because I can't sit there for too long. I don't know what the hell's wrong, but, you know, I'm like so restless.
Well,
so when I smoke a little bit, I can sit there for a little bit.
Right, you can concentrate. Well, I was just like also shocked because I think we talked about this yesterday that Netflix is $20 million or $1 billion in debt or something. Did you read
Netflix
about
is?
Yeah.
Really? I thought they were doing very well. I thought so too.
They
were in
good
deep
shows.
Trouble before.
Just and
they,
to show you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when people are like, yo, anyone got a Netflix password? And they allow five people to like freely use the service.
That's true, huh?
That's $50 a month right there. I mean, 50, you know, like.
Yeah. They'll probably do it where you have you to register your device or something.
No, you can. If
but
you have
eventually
a Netflix.
They will.
Oh, yeah. Like
I'm
how,
telling you. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to stop that to control it somehow. Just like with software, you know, software. It's
Big
like,
brother.
You know. Yeah.
Not really, but just they want to make more money.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it is.
I mean, business that's how, truthfully, that's how I have my Netflix is I borrow it from someone.
Ah, I see.
I was
okay.
made. I
that's
was
why
made,
you know.
I was, yeah, I'm on her account. I have a little, my little avatar, even my name. So
oh,
I'm
yeah,
not,
that's
yeah.
right.
So I'm not like, net, not like
you can
bum,
different
bumming
users.
My Netflix. I actually have a place. You know? Not using like my friend.
There you
cash.
Go. There's probably like 25 people on that account.
There's like
no?
five. And really? I'm like, I can't. Yeah, I don't even know who the four of them are. One's her ex-boyfriend. I'm like, he definitely doesn't deserve a spot. We've been friends since high school. I can't, like, I need to get rid of him on the account.
Oh, wow, that's funny. But, yeah, Netflix. So I started watching Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One. Have you seen it? Are
no.
you into Star Wars at all?
I love space. I like Star Wars, but, like, I am not going to put it on. Like, I'll watch it if it's
right. On. You won't go out of your way for it.
Mm, yeah. I have to be in the mood.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too, you know. And most, like, spaceship movies I don't really like. I like a lot of science fiction, but not really in space.
I love space.
Do you? Mm-hmm. So... But when Star Wars came out, I mean, it was so revolutionary, you know, 1977. It was unbelievable.
I wasn't there, but I heard.
Yeah, yeah, you weren't there. I was. I was 16, 17 years old. So I totally connected to it, and it was just amazing because all that's been up to then was like Star Trek or something, you know? And I hadn't really watched Star Trek.
I like Star Trek, too.
Do you? Yeah, I never got into it. I don't know.
Yeah, I used to watch the television show as a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you like space, I'm surprised that for you, Star Wars is just a mess.
I know, but Star Wars is more like a war movie in space. Mm. And there's all these characters and I just...
Okay, so you like other stuff. What about Alien? Do you like Alien?
I like Alien stuff. I love I love 2001 Space Odyssey, the Stanley Kubrick.
Right.
I love, any like Independence Day is awesome. Men in Black. I guess all Alien Smith movies.
Yeah. I meant Alien, the movie Alien.
Yeah.
You know, the
Alien,
scary one.
Yeah, with the girl from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Called, Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver, yeah.
But there was...
And Avatar.
Oh, Men in Black is like, I thought, a very innovative movie. Don't you think?
Oh, when I saw Men in Black in theaters as a kid, and my mind was blown.
Right? I mean, the first time you
like
see
it,
you don't expect it. You
it was
know?
Like comedy, aliens, and Will Smith. This movie was made for me.
I know. You know? Tommy Lee Jones was great in it,
amazing.
Too, you know?
Yeah.
And then the sequels were okay, but not
you
as...
Know, they Why do they always ruin good things? You know what
I
mean?
I know, but I'll tell you why. It's the same with The Matrix, because when the first movie introduces like a surprise, you know, something innovative and new, then the sequel, you already know. You
I
know,
will
they
say
can't surprise you
the
same
only
way.
Sequel I liked was Ghostbusters 2. Ghostbusters 1, 2, but I never saw the...
I never saw
and
it.
And I'm very all about the women and females, but I can't watch a female Ghostbusters. I'm sorry. I can't. You got it. That was the Ghostbusters were such a part of my childhood. I can't see
That's
them.
That's true, right?
In those, I can't.
Yeah.
Got to keep it.
Oh
original.
Well, you know, a lot of crazy stuff out there. I just want to bring up. This is like breaking news. I guess in Minnesota, in the school, there was an explosion, a natural gas explosion in a school, and a building collapsed. So they said one person was dead, but then they're saying they can't confirm it yet. So, but this looks pretty scary. I mean, you know, you send your kids to school.
That's why I'm all about the electric car movement. We probably would have less
explosions.
Well, we wouldn't.
Well,
the
you
natural
don't know
gas.
That. Yeah, but
is that? But that's not the same gas that we use for our car, is it?
Natural gas?
No.
I don't know, but that's what we use for gas at home, right?
Yeah.
To power that and
we
things
should make
like
everything
that.
Electric or solar powered.
Mm. But you know what? Everything's got its own risks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, electricity, you go into nuclear plants and
well,
stuff
we
like
were
that.
Well, when we were down in Redondo last week, we were they have that big water plant or that treatment plant that's like right on the ocean. It's so disheartening.
Yeah,
just to see that. ugly thing in the middle, in the middle of
it. Yeah, well, you don't
have
a choice.
We have to act like it's like the not the elephant in the room, you know.
But yeah, they said they're going to move it or something. I don't know. Somebody was talking about it, so I don't know. But yeah, I mean, look, but they have cool beaches there, and they also have, you get to see the planes taking off right there.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah,
right
just there, what so. I want to see.
Yeah, exactly.
While I'm relaxing at the beach.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to bring in our guest right now who lives a little more south from what we're talking about. For those of you who don't know Southern California, forget about it. We're not going to explain it to you now. But our guest drove in from New York, San Diego this morning, right?
Right, I did.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Gorgeous.
Martha Brookhart Halda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And so, yeah, when guests make a drive like this, we figure, you know what? We're not going to grill them. We'll just treat them nicely. So you're one of those.
Thank
no,
you.
No, I'm kidding.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, we try to respect our guests. In fact, we had a guest.
We tried to respect our
yeah,
guests.
Yeah, right. Like 2 weeks ago, we had an Orthodox Jewish woman here. And when she walked in, I saw she didn't reach to shake my hand. And then I remembered that Orthodox women are not supposed to touch men. So, and I didn't really know she was Orthodox when she just came in. But I knew she had something to do with Judaism, you know, because she sent a little background and stuff. But I didn't expect that. So then when we took pictures, she hugged Rachel, but I did not reach to hug her for the picture, and she didn't either. So it's such an awkward picture when we both just standing there with our hands. By
well, but you look nice like though, a, that you tried yeah. to honor her.
And I did. Thanks. And you know what? And also we went into questions. Oh, I asked her about dating before she got married. She's like, she was like a deer caught on the headlight. I'm like, okay.
Like I said, we try to respect
yeah,
her.
Right. So let's move on to the next topic, you know. And so that was good. But you know, she actually sent us a thank you card.
Oh, cute.
Saying thank you for the respect.
She's
and,
honestly
and for
like,
accommodating.
She's like the ideal woman,
right?
Like, just like
and she teaches women how to be brides.
I just couldn't. I would fail that class. I'm just like, well, to be like Orthodox.
Jewish brides. Yeah, there's a lot you have to go through.
So many, obviously,
rules.
I just could never.
And rituals.
I mean,
and things
right
like
the,
that.
On the first day, like maybe you should try something yeah, else. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's just you know like that is. Like, you know, sending thank you cards. I don't do shit like that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's
I know.
Why I don't, you know.
Well, but listen.
But like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's why you
lost
said.
It's kind of lost art a little bit.
It is.
Yeah,
it really
and,
is.
And that's why you said before the show, we're all different, you know. Mm-hmm. And it makes life interesting, you know. You don't, everybody want
to
be the same,
my mom sent
you know?
Me to charm school when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Because I was such a tomboy. Like, I just, like, I had ashy knees. I wore sneakers with ruffle socks.
And she
like,
probably tried to make you all pretty and
oh,
girly, right?
It was so
bad. I know,
bad.
We did it with my girl, too.
It was so bad. And I just, like, even, like, had a... I just, like, stood like a little boy, you know, waiting to be called for dodgeball at recess. Like, and...
So
as you can tell,
slam the ball at the other boy.
As you
probably.
Can tell, it did wonders.
Yeah.
My dad did the same thing to me. He used to stick a book on my head and make me walk around the room so I could walk like a lady.
It was so miserable. That
wow,
guy.
That's funny,
terrible.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Martha, where, did you grow up where you live now?
Or I am a native of Carlsbad, California.
Really? And that's mm-hmm. so that's where you are now?
Yeah, it's a beautiful beach town
so you
right
never,
on the coast.
Yeah, I mean, why would you move away from a place like that, right?
Foolishly, I did.
Really?
But I moved to places like Hawaii. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's not foolishly.
Coeur d'Alene,
okay.
Idaho. And then I came back.
Wow.
Why put up with the winter if you don't have to?
Right.
That's true, right?
Right.
So exactly. The weather is important to you.
That, and we just don't even think about how lucky we are when we get to look at the ocean every day and enjoy the beauty until we move away. And we're like, oh, wait a minute. That did mean something to me.
Right.
I need to go back there.
There's no water. There's no edge to anything,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I know. It seems like I've always lived on the coast, too, whether I was in Israel or here, except I lived in Vegas for a while. And then also I lived in Johannesburg, which is not near water. But other than that, yeah, I've always lived near the beach, you know, or at least on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where you'd get used to that. And now, what made you move to Hawaii? I mean, I know a lot of people want to move to Hawaii because it's such a great tourist destination, but is it really livable?
Well, I thought it was. I moved there. I was right out of high school. Skateboarder,
I've
body surfer.
Wanted to live there.
So I just got on a plane and went.
Really, on your own?
Uh-huh.
Not with a family or anything?
Just on my own.
Wow.
And I was there for about 6 months, and then I got island fever.
Yeah.
And went, okay, I got to get off of this thing and get off of it fast. Otherwise,
living in Boca
it's
was
too
like,
much of the same, right? Too
you
much
were
of
talking
a
about smoking a joint and having a little bit of a hangover.
Yeah, that's every day.
The day that I was doing that, and it was found myself to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I hadn't done anything yet. I was like,
Boca
all right, I need to get on the plane. I need to get out of here.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I lived in Boca Raton for 4 years, and like I finished up school out there, and I got a job right out of college, but like no one I knew worked. They didn't have to. They all like came from wealthy families or whatever. I don't know. I'm like, I don't even know how, are you even a real person? Like, how do you not have a place to go every day? And they, it
I never
was,
had
it's
that
just,
privilege.
Exactly. And they just like, and it's just like drinking and partying. And like, I was just like, I can't, I'm not ready to retire. I'm 24.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can't do this, though. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your childhood like? Do you have any siblings?
I'm the last of five. Grew up in Carlsbad, as I said. My dad was the dean of the Army Navy Academy. Mm. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. It was a great life.
Uh-huh.
Lots of adventure, lots of time at the beach.
So comfortable upbringing, right?
Comfortable upbringing, anything that we were really interested in. My parents made a point of finding us. I can remember as a kid, I was really into art, so we would take the drive from Carlsbad up the coast to San Clemente, where I would take an art class, and then the rest of the kids would go to the beach.
Mm.
They thought they had the better
so
gig, and I thought I had the better gig, because
right.
I was going to my art class. But
that's really supportive of them.
Right. So...
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
Yeah. And so you were growing up here. So up to this point, I don't see you've had any challenges in your life. So we're probably going to have to expect some stuff coming later in your life, right? Because everybody's got shit happening in their lives. It's just that not much happened in your childhood.
Right. That's pretty much what my book is about.
You,
my book is about all the stuff that happened.
Okay. That's why you can imagine. Because everybody comes here to deal with garbage, you know?
Yeah.
With drama, with baggage, with all this stuff. And so you can't expect anybody to. So if you have a perfect childhood, maybe something's going to happen later in your life.
Well, so that's how we learn.
So you moved to Hawaii, and 6 months later you decided that's it. Where did you decide to go then? Came back to Carlsbad?
Came back to Carlsbad, and then lasted about 6 months, then went up to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
And what's there? What made you move there?
Well, my parents were from that area, and I used to go there about every 5 years and visit, and just knew that it was stunningly beautiful and wanted to get out of Dodge.
Uh-huh.
So I went up there. I thought I was going to visit my grandmother for like 3 weeks, and I stayed for about 3 years.
Really?
And then...
What did you do there?
I went to college, ran track, and then I actually worked for the county tax assessor appraising property.
Really?
They needed to fill a quota. It was all old men, and I was a young female, so I went, okay, I can do that. I can fill that quota.
But, I mean, I can see how that would prepare you maybe for real estate and things like that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, definitely.
Did you get into that eventually?
That's what I do now.
I'm a
realtor now.
So it's cool because you get to see it from the... From the taxation point of view, the government point of view, whatever.
Exactly.
And then you get to see all the what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Very good. So according to my estimation, you probably made $10 billion by now, but you know, with real estate stuff. But who knows? You know, maybe I'm a little too low there. But but at any rate, has real estate been nice to you? Has it been good to you?
It has been so far. I'm fairly new to it. I used to work for builders, and I you know, like the little van of white when you walk into the models. It tells you all about that. So I worked for builders for a few years. That was nice. And then in about 2006 to 2008, the market started to drop, and I was at the above 2 million mark. So that was pretty much the first area to drop. So I thought, well, what else can I do? And then I transferred over to timeshare, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Really? And do people get into that? I mean, is it a smart thing? Because everybody tries to talk you out of it.
Well, yeah. I think if you want to sell it, it's probably a great thing. If you want to buy one, people are going to try and talk you out of it.
Right.
Not want to listen. Unless if you actually go on vacation. You know,
right.
Anything has its value if you're actually using it. If you don't use it, which half the people do, they have the dream of it, but then they don't actually go on vacation, then it's a waste of money.
Right, right. So in the timeshare, eventually you bind part of the property, right? If it's a house or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I could spend hours talking about it because they're all completely different.
Oh, really?
But yeah. If you go on vacation, you're going to be staying in a condo instead of a hotel room.
Right.
And For me, it was a good idea because I needed to figure out what I was going to do, and I knew that pretty much what you take with you in life are your memories.
Right.
And I've got some great memories from some great vacations.
There you go. So you like to travel, and that's why...
I love to travel.
Yeah, obviously you're very restless. You move around a lot and stuff. So you were in Idaho. I mean, that's pretty... I mean, unusual, right, to move from California to Idaho?
I think in a certain sense of the general part of Idaho, yeah.
Yeah.
But where I lived in Coeur d'Alene, it's up in the bottleneck. So it's 22 miles to Washington and about 90 miles to the Canadian border.
Oh.
And it's just one of the most biggest, hugest, beautiful lakes. Coeur d'Alene reminds me a lot of Europe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to move there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we'll do our show from there.
Yeah.
FaceTime you.
I mean, you give me a house on the lake, I'm sold, man. I don't know how long I'd last, though, just like you didn't last very long in Hawaii. But it sounds great, right?
You would last five days.
Yeah. So that's why we just go on vacation to these places and the hell with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds cool to me. So after that, you decided. What? You got enough of that?
Had enough of that. Came back to California. Decided this is what I am. I'm a native California girl. I can relate to the people here.
Right.
It's incredibly beautiful. You want to get to the mountains. You're an hour away.
Right.
You want to go to the beach. I'm 7 minutes away. So
you got everything you want here.
This is where I need to be, right.
Yeah. So you went to college in Idaho, did you say?
I went to North Idaho, which is okay. in Portland.
And what did you do? Learn there. What did you graduate?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot?
Not enough.
Did you manage to graduate, though?
I do not have a degree, no.
Okay.
But I studied fashion merchandising.
Oh, wow.
I was studying special education and working in a home with developmentally disabled kids. Mm-hmm. And I found if I gave them 1 inch of love, they'd give me 2 miles of love.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to adopt them. And at that point, I was like a 20-year-old. You can't be adopting kids when you're 20. So I thought, okay, well, what else can I switch to? What is... the exact opposite. So I went from special ed to fashion merchandising, and there is no emotion in fashion merchandising.
No.
Unless it's like a little snotty emotion. So it was a good one for me.
Yeah. So and then you got out of school. Did you actually get into it then? I mean, you were doing the fashion stuff and stuff?
Yeah, I ran boutiques in La Jolla.
Okay. Oh, so out here you were doing that?
So I ran boutiques on Prospect Street in La Jolla. It's kind of like a Rodeo Drive, mm-hmm. sort of. Well, a mini version.
Uh-huh.
Did that for a few years. Ran stores for SeaWorld. And then I got married and became a mom.
Oh, okay.
I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years.
Oh, I see. Okay, and how many do you have? How many kids?
I have two boys.
Two boys?
Well, actually, they're men.
They're men by now, right? I know. Yeah. I know what it's like when your kids get older and stuff. Do you find they're... are they like of the current generation, like millennials and stuff?
Right, one's 34 and one's 28.
Yeah. So they're young. Yeah, they're young. Is it? I mean, how do you find it now? Is it like a different relationship with them now? I mean, I'm really curious because my kids are like in their 20s,
uh-huh.
and I'm wondering what it's like when they get to be in their 30s and stuff. I mean, do you like get closer with them or?
Yes.
Yeah?
I can relate to what you're saying.
Right.
Because I kind of lost a time period there, and my sister kept telling me when they're 25, they become human again, and they're going to look at you. They're going to get a relationship. And I did.
Okay.
But then when they get to like 30 or close to it, I have to switch the way I talk to them and the way I communicate with them because I'm no longer mom.
Yeah.
I have to, hey, they're adults. I got to communicate to them like they're adult men.
Right.
Because that way I'm getting the best feedback from them.
Because
if I treat them like they're my sons, then they're like, hey, look, I'm not a little kid anymore.
Right, that's true.
Tell that to my parents.
Yeah.
Tell that to my dad. He still talks to me like really I'm 17. He will never change.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a hard gig for us to figure out. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it is. You know, because I tell you, I raised my kids like friends, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's be friends. But now they treat me like shit sometimes like they would their friends, you know. Or even worse than they would treat their friends.
It doesn't matter how you... It's like the age.
But maybe you
got to
raise them with some more respect for you or something. I don't know. You know, that's why you're saying it's hard to figure out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know which way to go. So you try different things and whatever works, you know. But So you decided to start raising kids and everything. What was your husband doing at the time?
He did a radio show.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. Whoa. He did a radio show, and specializing mostly in golf and sports.
Uh-huh.
And then he was a mortgage broker.
Oh, wow.
So he had a nice commute. His office was down the hall.
So there you go.
He did his radio show from the room down the hall.
Sounds good. Okay, so much we haven't uncovered any adversity yet in her life, and she's
already married with kids.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay, I want to tell everybody who is just joining us, we're talking to Martha Brookhart Halda. She wrote a book called The Fragrance of Angels, An Accident, A Taste of Eternity, and A New Life. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot in one lifetime. And so how do we get to that from getting married, having kids and stuff? What happened next?
Oh, basically living the Silver Spoon life, living at a country club, out in North County, San Diego, a rural area. I was taking my SUV on the way to pick up my son from high school. Okay. And driving through an orange grove, found a dirt path, got sunblinded, the mid-afternoon sunblinded, and ended up taking it was an expedition, Ford Expedition, so figure out how big one of those is.
Yes.
I went over some little 3-foot boulders, and the axle broke off, and the truck went into nose-to-heel flips, and the centrifugal force, I got thrown out, and it landed on top of me, and then it rolled off. And I died on the road on the way to the high school to pick up my son. So the book is really about, as I'm there on the road, a friend who finds me, he's praying for me. He doesn't know who I am. He can't recognize me because I've got blood all over.
Yeah.
And he wants to move me to get me ready for the 911 that's coming, the ambulance and things like that. But he's afraid to touch me because my leg is literally under my body with my foot sticking out above
my
head.
Oh, my God.
And it's a little distracting.
But how did he find you? How did he find you? How did this friend end up being there?
Well, he was actually the football coach of the team that my son was on. And he lived on this road. So he, after practice, when that's what I was doing, was going to pick my son after practice. And I had the accident. He actually was on his way home to go have dinner before going back to the high school that night for the football game. And on his way home, another car stopped him and said, there's a lady that's been thrown out of her car. I was able to call 911. This was in cell towers in 1999. You really didn't get cell reception. This man got cell reception, had the ambulance on the way. Told him, just slow down, you're going to find her. And then as he pulled over, he starts to pray for me, and I'm start to feel it because at this point I'm actually dying. So I'm feeling his emotion, a new thing. And they send in the first ambulance. They couldn't do anything for me. The second ambulance, they couldn't do anything for me. So then they called in Life Flight. And when the Life Flight landed, they put me in, and then they had to turn off the blades. And at this point is when I'm going into heaven with an angel. And I can feel his anguish. And I'm telling him, it's okay, Rob. It's okay. Come with me. Come with me. We're going to go to heaven. And down on the ground where he is, he's asking, why have you turned off the blades? And they say, well, because she's passed and we can't transport. We have to wait for the coroner. So he's starting to freak out. And as I'm going into heaven with an angel, I can feel all of his anguish. So I'm trying to comfort him. And then the book continues and tells all the stories about where I went in heaven. Because I actually died three times. Four times. One time I came back too soon, so they took it off record. But I'm literally on legal record of passing over three times.
Really? So you were, like, declared dead?
Uh-huh.
Where? In the hospital?
Once on the road.
Right.
And then there's a story about going with the angel that time, and I end up in a ledge of review. And then I die again in the Life Flight.
Right.
And then I talk about in the book about going to the Valley of Death. And the Valley of Death is not what we normally think.
Okay.
It's incredibly beautiful. It's stunningly beautiful. And then I die again on the table, on the operating table.
Wow. Now tell me something. Before we move forward here, did you have any... I mean, were you spiritual before this?
I was...
I mean, what kind of...
sort of
in
spiritual.
In your upbringing, did you believe in angels and in heaven and
I
all
did
that?
Not believe in angels no. at all. To me, an angel was like those little cherubic things you see in bookstores.
Right, right.
And I wanted no part of those.
Right.
Basically, I mean, my parents took me to church when I was a little kid till I was about 7. Again, last of 5. So my older brother's not interested in church anymore. The waves were happening, so my parents stopped going.
Uh-huh.
Then when I was in high school, I was a radical born-again Christian for about a year. And then nothing. And yeah. then, of course, when my kids were little, I tried taking them to church. We went for, you know, till yeah. they were like 6 or 8. At this point, they were 11 and 14, so I wasn't participating in any church. Wow. And I'm not really a church person. I believe in the spirituality of how a person feels inside, most importantly, how they treat other people.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Wow, very interesting. So now, so you said you became born again?
When I was in high school.
Why did you do that?
You know, that's a great question.
Yeah, because it's a big deal, right? I mean, it's a big change in your lifestyle.
I know why I did at that point. My parents had, they're a little bit older. And they had decided that my dad needed to go back to USC to go to college to get his doctorate in librarian science. So they packed up and moved and lived in Watts. It's a neighborhood that's right next to it. And I lived in the house by the beach in Carlsbad by myself.
Really?
Well, yeah, and that was in the early 70s. So there's all kinds of trouble I could have got into.
Yeah.
And I think I just needed something to guide me so I wouldn't do that.
That's why I became
a radical born again. It gave me something to do.
Yeah, and some kind of a framework. And right. Yeah, yeah. Like you sort of like belong in a group or something, right? Did you join any?
Guidance without when your parents aren't there.
Right, right.
Kind of thing.
That's true. But it's a good thing you did that, you know, because I think it kind of grounds you, wouldn't you say? Okay. When you like get into religion and stuff, you know. I mean, there's a lot of debate about religion, but when you become... when you change your lifestyle like that, usually it's a good thing, don't you think?
I do. And again, I don't really think a whole lot about religion and following religion.
Right.
Because that's where most of our wars come from.
Right.
That's where most of the debate comes from. There's a lot of positive, there's a lot of negative. And judging.
Right.
And that's one thing I definitely learned from my experience is the last thing we are is to judge anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Who do we think we are? So, wow, and we're going to go into all this experience and everything because obviously it's fascinating. What impresses me, though, is that you sit here and you talk about normal things that happen, ordinary things, you know, you drive, you get in an accident and stuff like that. Then you start talking about angels and stuff. Do you lose people right away? I mean, or do you have to prepare them for this kind of a discussion?
No, lots of times, I mean, certainly I've had my periods where I'm judged and people are like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, you're crazy. And that's okay. I don't really care what somebody else thinks about me.
Right.
I know that my experience is real, and I would not have said that prior to it actually happening to me, but no one will ever get me to believe that there's not an angel, that they're not angels, that we're not guided.
Right.
And I've studied enough other religions after the fact because I felt like I needed to know where are we more alike than how are we not alike?
Well, I was going to say, have you connected with other people who've had the same, like, they've died and then have come back?
You know, it's interesting because after my experience, I was in a coma for 2 months, and then I was sent to a rehab center to learn how to use the wheelchair I was supposed to be living in. I was supposed to be a mental vegetable and live in a wheelchair.
Really?
Yeah. And a girlfriend of mine brought me the very first book I ever read about near-death experiences. And it was 158 pages, and there was like 18 of them that were like verbatim the same description. And that was freaky. It was like, oh.
Yeah. Right.
But then also a little bit validating, too. Okay, so other people have experienced something really similar. And then just my studies, there's a group for the National NDE, Near-Death Experience people. I've read lots of their stuff, very similar. And then just studying different religions. Not that I want to join any of them. I just want to see how they were like.
Right.
There's history from way back to Greek time where there's artwork that shows
of angels,
near-death experience, similarities, the tunnel and that kind of thing. To me, I experienced, I'm sure it was the tunnel, but it didn't feel like a tunnel because I could see through it. It was transparent. There's just so many things that are so similar. So I like to find the good in all different religions, and then I take that and live my life by that.
That's and I think that's awesome, you know, because you because religion is more look, if we had like one religion or something, mm-hmm. life would be simple, right? But mm-hmm. the thing is that religion really deals with the unknown, with uncertainty. And but people have taken it to the extreme, whereas we're right and you're wrong,
right.
And my God is better than yours, and that's where it's all started. But
it's dangerous because people interpret it in their own way, and their interpretation is right. truth rather than, and then people take it like what the Bible says literally. And if you right. go into certain parts and places in the Bible, you can, you know, beat your wife and like take on concubines and, you know,
right.
stone gay people. So it's like, you know, I think it's, I like that you can take what you want and at the end of the day, all religion agrees, like it's good to, you should be a good person,
right? Exactly. I mean, the and five major religions,
how you
so
want
many
to
things
be
that
treated.
Are so similar, exactly. Right. And I choose one. I say I'm a Christian. I choose to be a Christian. That's who I am in this life. I choose Jesus Christ as my guru, my whatever. But I'm not saying that if somebody else doesn't follow that they're wrong.
Right.
That's
right.
Where I think, because the religions are, to me, is the worldly man-made portion. Mm-hmm. And if we just look within ourselves, we ultimately, having gone through a life review, we're ultimately accountable to ourselves for our actions. So
right.
I just want to be a good person.
Right. There you go.
Right.
Because then you have to keep coming back until you do become a
yeah,
good person, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, there's so many questions. Let's talk a little bit about the book so people can start following. The book is The Fragrance of Angels. What do you mean by that, The Fragrance of Angels?
The Fragrance of Angels, well, the amount of experiences, the way I describe heaven is if you take the best love you've ever felt in your entire life, the most incredible rainbow you've ever seen in your entire life, the most wonderful garden, floral garden you've ever experienced, anything that gives you pleasure, nature,
right.
and you amplify it by the thousands, you might come kind of close.
Right, right.
Well, with this angel, she was...
It was a female, you could
well,
tell.
Actually, to me, they're kind of unisex.
Right.
Kind
right.
of like that puberty stage.
Right.
Where it, depending on how you look at them, they could either be male or female. And
right.
I just say she because that's easiest
right,
for me
right.
to relate to.
Right.
But she was absorbed, drenched. She emanated this incredible fragrance. And
oh,
it
wow.
was unbelievable.
Really?
And incredibly comforting.
Right.
And then later, the reason why the book is called The Fragrance of Angel, originally it was going to be called Not Near Death, But A Taste of Eternity. And I had that title in my head from the time that I was in the coma. Still in the hospital, not near death, but a taste of eternity, a taste of eternity. And of course, at that point, I didn't even know how bad my accident was. I was in a coma.
Yeah.
And then when I woke up, my husband made sure that I didn't know how bad it was because I had been an athlete in college, and he knew that if I was given the opportunity to rise to the occasion, I would. So I pushed myself hard to be able to walk and talk and all that.
Yeah. I mean, how long did it take to fix your body?
It took about, I was in a coma for 2 months, and then to really get back to where I could walk and talk was about 2 years.
Wow.
Can you imagine that, Rachel? 2 years.
Well,
that's 2 long years.
I'm sure some people could imagine me not speaking for 2 years, but
yeah.
me, myself, no, I couldn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
that takes a lot of bravery, you know. I mean, a lot of perseverance and, yeah, go on.
So I was going to be calling the book that.
Uh-huh.
Well, the book came out in German first because the publisher, I found this great group of publishers that really liked it.
Uh-huh.
There were five women all about positive motivation and, you know, go for it attitude. But the the taste of eternity doesn't translate very well in German. It's not a very attractive word. So we said, well, let's change the title. And I talk about the angel and her beautiful smell. And then there's actually an experience that I went through where I was walking through the mall and I smelt heaven. And I stopped myself in my tracks, and I tracked it down. I went to the perfume counter and went around bottle to bottle to bottle. And then when I came to it, I said, this is heaven. This is heaven.
Really?
So what is it?
Did you buy it?
I couldn't afford it. It was $120 then. It's now $160.
Whoa.
What's the brand?
It's an Estee Lauder.
Of course. Angels in heaven wear Estee Lauder. Have you ever seen their commercials? They're beautiful.
So this it's called The Collection. And there's four of them, and this one particular bottle has tea rose and gardenia. And literally just the other day, I had a bottle sent to my house. In this package, I opened it up. It was anonymous, and it wasn't sent from like a Nordstrom's or something like that, because it literally came directly from an Estee Lauder. And that is from someone who read my book, because I talk about how this is the most incredible perfume, but I can't afford it.
Yeah, right.
And anonymous.
Very interesting.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I'm going to have to... do you know the name of it?
It's called The Private Collection.
The Private Collection. So that
There's four of them. So you
There you go. So if you want a smell of death, there you go. No,
it's
I'm just kidding.
Death.
It's the smell of heaven.
I'm kidding.
No, my mom always wore Estee Lauder Trésor. It's like a different...
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like I always have the picture of it in my mind. My mom is... always has her fragrances.
Well, next time it's her birthday or something, you're going to have to get her a bottle.
I know,
of
I want to smell
collection.
She'll love it. She loves all that stuff, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now, let me ask you this. What kind of form do you take and the angel take when you're there? I mean, do you still look like yourself? You don't have a body.
Actually, I have no idea what I looked like because
no
I was
mirrors
just me.
Or anything.
So I knew.
But did you do? I mean, did you see arms? Anything? Did you look at yourself?
I didn't look at myself at all. I can tell you, the angel was, as I said, sort of between male female, head hair about down to her shoulders, wavy,
human light, looking,
light, right? Exactly like how a beautiful child looks at puberty.
Right, okay.
So, but she was in this raw silk gown that was floor length with big sleeves, and then she had an embroidery panel on the shirt, like an A-frame style shirt.
Yeah.
And it was the most intricate embroidery, and it looked like it was made out of real silver thread. And then she had these incredible wings that were opalescent.
Wow.
Now, super comforting.
And when you said you were legally dead four times, but they only put three,
because the one time I came back so quickly, they took it off.
Were each of those experiences different each time that you?
Yes.
And did you smell different? Did you experience? Did you see different angels? Was it different smells?
No, it was only
different worlds, if you will.
I wasn't met by anyone. I didn't see anybody that I knew. It was just this one particular angel that was with me. And the first time when I died on the road, then I went to the ledge of review. And literally, it's a very small meadow ledge with a drop thousands and thousands of feet.
Right.
And that was where I had a review, where I was shown if I had hurt someone, I had to exactly feel in a cellular level inside how I made that person feel. And it's pretty horrific if you've hurt somebody.
Yeah.
But on the good point, I got to feel, if I made somebody feel love, I got to feel how awesome that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that happened when? Like during in seconds?
Within
seconds.
It seems forever, I think.
It seemed like it was hours and days, but literally it was minutes.
Right. Now, during the coma, where were you at the time? Where was your soul at the time? When you were in a coma?
Well, the coma, I was alive, okay.
Right, so you don't know where you were. You just like were out of it. Because I wonder what happens to a person when they're in a coma. I mean, what does
it's probably like a dream state.
It is very much like a dream state. And I have gone back to the hospital as a guest and spoken with doctors, because there's a debate with doctors as if you're in a coma, if you can hear or not hear. And I can tell you that you can literally hear. It may not be every waking moment. I was in a drug-induced coma, to basically to give my body chance to heal.
I feel like it's that movie Awake, where they numb you, but they don't numb you enough, and they start to perform surgery on you, but they didn't give them enough.
Oh, so good.
Your mind was awake, but you couldn't, you're paralyzed, you can't talk, yeah, you can't right. move. You
Very can, much so.
But you're conscious of what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, I can remember laying there in the coma and being perfectly still, like a blackness, because I couldn't see, and hearing my mother talk over me, telling other family members or whoever was there, they say that she's going to be a mental vegetable and she's going to live in a wheelchair, so we need to find some place to put her. With a good intent, but inside I'm screaming, going, no, no, I'm going to be fine, I'm going to be fine, I'm here.
Oh my God.
So I always tell people, if you're going to visit someone in a coma, make sure you don't talk about anything negative. Just say great, positive things.
Terrible.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, but Martha, there's a couple of things we need to sort out here.
Sure.
The angel, how would you describe it? What is it, like a being, a human being, not a human being?
Yeah, she said it was like a child before. Like
No, but that child, I mean, is that like, because we don't see that. We don't sense angels here. I don't see any angels, right? What is it, a spirit?
I would say yes.
Okay.
The spirit. I mean, when I was looking at her, she was not transparent. Her wings were, but she was a person.
Right.
But a being
right.
from a different level. I mean, when you first started talking, we were talking about avatars and Netflix and stuff. And yeah, I steal my son's Netflix too. I have my own little private avatar.
Yes.
But there's a fine line. There is another space and time.
Mm.
I mean, and believe me, you ask, do people go, oh, mm-hmm. How much did you smoke today? What do you, when right. I'm there's
right.
angels?
Right.
But there's the veil between that space and here.
Okay.
And the angels are over there.
Right.
And do I think about angels all the time? Heck no.
Right.
But my experience, no one will get me to believe that no, there's not a heaven, and no, there's not angels, and there's not I literally cannot wait to get back to heaven.
That's cool. So, now, let me ask you this also. You seem to be describing everything in earthly terms.
That's because that's where my language is.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But you're describing like valleys and beauty mm-hmm. in terms of what we have on earth here.
Right.
Right? Is that really possible? So what you're saying is the beauty we see here, the trees, the water, the mountains, exists in another dimension too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I can say that the valley that I've seen two places here on Earth that reminded me very much of the valley. One of them is in Kauai. It's the Waimea Canyon. It's very much like the Grand Canyon, but it's all green.
Mm. Right.
It's got beautiful waterfalls. It's got beautiful rainbows. It's gorgeous.
Right.
That was very similar, but not as technicolor level as what I saw in heaven. And then Zermatt, Switzerland, at the base of the Matterhorn. It's very similar to what I saw.
How did you discover that?
Hiking in Zermatt, Switzerland.
Really? So it sounds like you've seen what you'd already seen in your life, though, right?
No,
I mean,
because
right. I would never think, oh, the valley is like in that place in Switzerland, because I'd never been there. You know what I'm saying? But you knew the place exists. So maybe that's like colored your memories.
I had seen heaven.
Right.
And then I went to
And then you went to there.
Right. After.
And went, oh my gosh. And then also the Austrian Alps.
Wow.
The Austrian Alps are, again, also very beautiful.
Yeah.
And
so, well, you know what? If nothing else, you've given hope to a lot of people, right? I mean, the bottom line is we're moving on to a good thing. But let me ask you this, and this is a moral question or maybe a logical one. I don't know. But you're saying there's heaven. Mm-hmm. You saw heaven.
Right.
Do you think there's hell too?
Yes.
Okay. So not everybody goes to the same place.
The reason why I would say yes is because I've literally have a friend who had a near-death experience, and he went to
hell, to the other side,
right? And wow. He has tries to correct his life
now that he knows,
hey, I don't want to go back there,
right? But now you see why. But now you see why we don't know, why we have this uncertainty.
Right.
So we have free will.
We definitely
have free choice,
will.
Right? because we get to decide. And if you knew what was going to happen, yes, everybody would be good and believing in this and this and that, because you wouldn't want to end up going to hell. But I think when you don't know, you have the choice that you can decide for yourself where you're going.
Exactly. Right?
But I think we should like advertise hell, because that would make people be better.
Do you know,
probably
if I had
so you said it's underrated.
No, I'm just saying, like, I like, you know, if like you were saying, if people knew you had an awesome place to go after right. life, maybe they would be held hold themselves more accountable. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
well, that's what religion is, isn't it? A big advertise or a lot of it.
Except for that, ultimately, I agree with you, because it's not about religion. It's you hold yourself accountable for your actions.
Right,
right, right. There you go. And you see, so we learned a lesson out of all this, and maybe obviously you had to go through a lot of trauma and stuff to come
that's
back an amazing and be able
story.
To give us this message. You know, if you guys want to find out about the entire story intimately, get the book, The Fragrance of Angels. Martha Brookhart Halda.
It's on Amazon.
Amazon, everywhere else you can find it. Right. Just Google her name and you'll find it everywhere. And you signed a couple of copies for us, and we're extremely, extremely happy for you,
Thank you to
have this, and happy that you're alive and well. I mean, I'm trying to imagine you all mangled and stuff after the accident with your leg behind your head, and I'm going, my God.
I'm actually not trying to picture that. That's right. Very painful.
I know.
She's been through enough.
I know, but you know but I mean? she looks like a healthy person
yeah.
now. And
you would never think. Kudos I would
to
never.
You.
You would never think that.
You obviously had to go through there in order to learn, come back, and tell us. You know, so there you go. Well, we wish you a long life if you want one. And
she yeah, can't wait to get back.
Actually, like a short one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there you go. Once you know where you're going, there you go. And congratulations for being admitted to heaven.
Thank you.
We can't take it for granted, right? So we know we're with a good soul here. Martha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Of course. All the best to you. Thank you to Desiree for making it happen. Rachel, thank you.
Always.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And tomorrow, what do we have?
We have our guest, Molly Peckler of Highly Devoted. She's the world's first cannabis matchmaker.
Cannabis matchmaker. There you go. If you haven't had
and
enough.
Life coach, so.
If you haven't had enough of cannabis this week, tune in tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.